Hear the word of God for us today from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." May the word today bless us in our hearing and our seeking and our preaching. As I start this message, please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Recently, Pam and I were cleaning out our bookcases and we came across this book. Frankly, I do not even remember having it. When I was a kid, I had many of these little types of books. They were called little golden books. Maybe since it was so small, it had gotten lost with our normal size books. Regardless, it was special for two reasons. First, it was a book on the Lord's Prayer written for children. And second, when I opened the front cover, the inscription inside made me realize it was a family heirloom. I immediately thought that our 7-year-old granddaughter, Julianne, should have it. I thought my daughter should read it to her, pray the Lord's Prayer with her, and answer any questions my granddaughter might have about it and prayer in general. I packed it up with a note and sent it off to Virginia. Upon reflecting upon it, could my daughter answer all the questions an inquisitive 7-year-old might have about it? Prayer is a big topic. After all these years of praying, do we have unanswered questions about prayer? We know the Lord's Prayer is important because it is found in two different Gospels, Luke and Matthew. In finding this little book, I was inspired to give my message today on the Lord's Prayer. I selected the Luke text as it includes the phrase we read earlier, "Lord, teach us to pray." That was what I was hoping for my daughter to do for my granddaughter, teach her to pray. But in my message preparation, I never got past this first verse. There was just so much in that first verse that seemed to catch hold of me that I just could not get any further. So today you're getting a message on prayer, not a message on the Lord's Prayer, which will have to wait for a later time. Today you're getting a message on how Jesus prayed and how his example can teach us to pray. When you think about Jesus' relationship with his disciples, life with him must have been a roller coaster ride of never-ending experiences of joy, bewilderment, and amazement. The disciples had traveled with him all over the land of Israel, and each day seemed like a great victory of good over evil. They saw inroads made in the dark powers of sickness, death, and despair wherever Jesus went. The disciples could not forget the incredible demonstrations of his power. The lame, blind, sick, deaf, and demon-possessed, whom he healed and set free to worship God. They were continually astonished at the wisdom of Jesus' parables and that he always got the best of those who sought to stop his ministry. I imagine that they must have been watching his every move and wondering what was the secret of his power and wisdom. When he was eating, sleeping, teaching, traveling, they must have been always watching him. And here in our text for today, Jesus was praying. And when he had finished, it dawned on one of the unnamed disciples that somehow the amazing power of Jesus must be connected with his prayer life. When Jesus had finished praying, one of them, no doubt speaking for all of them, said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." This is a very significant request, because these disciples were undoubtedly already men of prayer. When they said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples, they were not saying that John the Baptist had a superior school of ministry. They were saying, in John's traveling seminary, he had this really great course on prayer, but you have not told us anything about that topic yet. What they meant was, some of us once were John's disciples, and we were taught by him how to pray. But Lord, we have been watching you, and we see that you are a master at prayer. Now, as John once taught us how to pray, would you also give us your secrets of prayer? Because as we have been watching you, we have seen that your power and wisdom is connected with your prayer life. And that has made us realize how little we really know about prayer. Lord, would you teach us to pray? If we are honest with ourselves, we all need to confess that our prayer lives could be better. I think we all struggle with prayer to one extent or the other. Now, I'm not saying we don't have some awesome prayer warriors in this congregation. We do. But I would guess that most of us might confess to some shortcomings with our own prayer life. Therefore, we might also cry out, as the disciples did, "Lord, teach us to pray." For the fact is, most of us need a deeper, much deeper prayer life. The proof of this is the amount of discouragement, anxiety, fear, guilt, despair, and general lack of trust we have in the Lord to make a difference in our lives. I know that there are glowing exceptions to this, and I thank God for them. But I'm here to confess to you that I need help with deepening my own prayer life. I want a prayer life that brings me to the point where I'm able to have a joy and a glow in my everyday experience that cannot be denied. I want to be able to overcome that strange resistance to accept the challenge of a more active involvement in ministry, service, and evangelism. I do not wish to criticize anybody, for as the Apostle Paul says, I am the chief of sinners in all of this. But could it be that the reason the church is not more vital in North America is simply because we have not yet seen what prayer is and the importance it plays for Christian living? Therefore, my prayer for this message is that each of us will join this unnamed disciple and cry out, "Lord, teach us to pray." One thing is obvious to me. Because of the power of the risen Christ, when we say these words and really mean them, we have already taken the first and most important step toward discovering the power of prayer. When we ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," we are doing so out of a sense of our own need. Prayer is simply an expression of our universal human need to be in intimate connection with a God with a Father's heart who is all ready to pour out all that he has to give us. So my focus on this message is, what did the disciples see in the life of Jesus to make this heartfelt request? What was it that so impressed them that they watched Jesus pray and convinced them that his prayer life and his amazing power and wisdom were somehow connected. First off, Jesus demonstrated to the disciples that prayer was a necessity. Everything Jesus did sprang out of prayer. It was embedded into his very DNA as an attitude of mind and heart. He literally prayed without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul tells us to do. Obviously, praying without ceasing means that it's not always a down on your knees type of prayer. He did not kneel every time, though he knelt sometimes. He did not always stand with bowed head and arms upraised. If he did, he never would have gotten anything done. It is astonishing to see how much Jesus crammed into his 3 years of ministry. Yet in the midst of this life of incredible busyness and tremendous pressure and continuous interruption, he was constantly in prayer. He was praying with his hands when his hands were busy healing. He gave thanks as he was breaking the bread and feeding the 5,000. At the tomb of Lazarus, before he spoke these words, "Lazarus, come out," he was giving thanks to the Father for raising Lazarus from the dead. For Jesus, there was a continual sense of expectation that the Father would be working through him, and therefore he was always praying. I believe that this is the key of us, key secret to our prayer life. It is to practice this constant attitude of expectation. This means that we are never very far away from the thought that God is working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Jesus ministered with this sense of expectation because he believed what he preached. He said in various times and various ways, "The Son can do nothing by himself." If you think about that, that is a remarkable statement that must have startled the disciples. Jesus was the Son of God, the perfect man, who would continually fulfill all of God's expectations for him and for us. He was the constant delight of his Father's heart and always did those things that pleased his Father. So how much did Jesus personally, as a man, contribute to the power and wisdom demonstrated to his disciples for the 3 years of his incredible ministry? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He did nothing from his own strength. Jesus said, "The Son by himself can do nothing." Again and again, he declared that to be true. John 14, for one example, "It is the Father living in me who is doing his work." And out of Jesus' awareness of his constant sense of need came continuing attitude of prayer and an expectation that if anything was to be done, the Father would have to do it through him. This is what created the foundation of his amazing prayer life and his realization that prayer was an absolute necessity. Now there is our problem. We have an ingrained, unexplainable attitude of self-sufficiency. It is part of our fallen human nature. Oh, there are times when we are conscious of our inadequacy. As Christians, whenever we are up against some really demanding circumstance or have are overwhelmed by some unexpected disaster, our first and automatic response is to pray. Why is that? because we do have a built-in sense of need. We know we need help, and prayer is an automatic response at such times. But we tend to think that prayer is only reserved for those times when we are in crisis. For the rest of our day-to-day lives, we feel quite self-sufficient. Thank you. We unconsciously say, there are lots of things I can do by myself. I'll pray when I need help, but the rest of the time I can manage on my own. But for Jesus, it was the very opposite. Instead, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, said, the Son by himself can do nothing, absolutely nothing. This has to be what Jesus is teaching us. This is a very critical thing for us to learn. There is no activity in our lives which does not require prayer and a sense of expectation that God will work within us and through us. This is where our thinking needs to change. No act that we can take is too little for prayer. The phone call that we're about to make, the email that we're about to write, the person we're about to meet, we need to pray about all of it. How can we expect for God to work through us in any and all circumstances unless we lift our hearts to God and simply say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak through me. The simple unending task and needs of others are the source from which our prayers should come. Jesus could put in hours of activity, but without his intimate connection with the Father, it accomplished nothing. And from that deep, urgent sense of continual need, that awareness that he was just an empty vessel through which the Father worked, came his continual prayer. Almost always, Jesus' prayers included thanksgiving. He was forever saying, thank you, Father. Thank you for this situation to which you have brought me. Thank you for what you have planned to do about it. Thank you for the needs that are being met. And thank you for the victory that you will win. As he broke the bread to feed the 5,000, he lifted his eyes and said, thank you, Father. At the Last Supper, as he gathered with his own in the upper room, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. All through his life, prayer included thanksgiving. Frequently, Jesus' prayer was seeking guidance from the Father. On the occasion when he was about to choose his disciples, we are told they spent all of the previous night in prayer. He knew his own wisdom would be inadequate for this very special task. He talked with his Father about each one of them. There came a conviction, this is the one. This is the one. And when he had finished, he had chosen the 12, including Judas. Prayer for Jesus was frequently intercession. He prayed for the little children and made intercession for them with the Father. In John 17, he prayed for the 11 apostles, and through them for the whole church and for every age of the church to come. Jesus said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He prayed for Peter in the hour of his disillusionment and defeat after Jesus' arrest and Peter's denial of his Lord three times. Jesus had prayed for him before the night he was betrayed, saying, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And his final prayer of intercession before his death on the cross was, as they hammered the nails into his flesh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Tracing through the Gospels, looking at the details of Jesus' prayer life, we can see what this unnamed disciple saw. Prayer for Jesus was so necessary for him, so easy, so natural. Why do we struggle so much? Why are we suddenly so busy when the prayer meeting is brought up? Why do we favor prayer in general, but tend to have a hard time finding prayer in private? Could it be that the evil one is whispering very clever things to us about prayer? Is he saying to at least some of us, of course Jesus prayed like this, but do you expect to live like he did? Is it not obvious that this kind of living is far beyond you? After all, you are nothing but a simple, ordinary human being. Like everything else the enemy says to us, it is a lie. Because Jesus tells us in chapter 6 of John, I live because the living Father who sent me, in the same way anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. As he lived by the Father's strength, so we can also live by the Son's strength in the exact same relationship he had with his Father. Here is the truth of our human condition. Whether we think we have a need or not, we are needy people. Whether we realize it or not, whether we feel capable or not, we are incapable to do the Lord's work on our own. This is why we have to constantly pray for the Spirit of the Lord to fill us and indwell within us. This is where we gain our true strength. Life is really under control only when our attitude is what Jesus' attitude was, one of continual need and constant expectation that God is informing us in everything we do. God is always the same, and on that great unshakable rock, our faith is renewed, and we have received his continued life-giving provisions. Giving is the Lord's job and joy. He is quite happy to be forever giving. Our job and joy is in the receiving, to continually receive. Prayer then is to be our life and our breath, so that no one needs to urge us to pray any more than they would urge us to eat or sleep. How do we do this? Someone once asked a dear, humble Christian lady who seemed to just glow with the Spirit about her method of prayer. She says, I don't know anything about method. I just pray like this. When I wash my clothes, I pray, Lord, wash my heart clean. When I iron them, I say, Lord, iron out all those troubles I can't do anything about. When I sweep the floor, I pray, Lord, sweep all the corners of my life like I'm sweeping this floor. In my opinion, that is real prayer. And here is yet another example. There was another little book I found on my bookcase that I had not read in many years. After beginning my work on this message, I decided to read it again. Brother Lawrence was a monk who lived in the 17th century. The first 50 years of his life were quite unremarkable, and he generally felt totally useless to God. He entered a monastery thinking he was committing himself to prison for his crimes of unfaithfulness to God. Instead, he was given a new name and a new life. He was assigned the lowly job of washing pots and pans in the kitchen. That was his task for the first 15 years he was there in the monastery. He prayed as he washed, and washed as he prayed. He called himself the servant to the servants of God. What was the thing that changed him from being a guilt-ridden Christian to a liberated lover of God? He had discovered a way to practice the presence of God. Brother Lawrence had found the secret of holding himself in the presence of God, not only when on his knees, but with the greasy dishes and the clatter of the kitchen. He found himself close to God not only in the regulated times of prayer spent in the chapel, but in the in-between times of his quite ordinary life. Wherever he found that his mind had strayed from that awareness of God, he did not berate himself, but thanked God for waiting for him. I love that. He thanked God for waiting for him and returned to his conversation with God. His conviction was that anyone could live a life with the awareness of the presence of God throughout each day, if only they practiced. Brother Lawrence's quiet joy and tranquility began to affect other members of his monastic community. They started coming to him for counsel on how to cope with life. Soon, people far and wide wanted to hear the secret of Brother Lawrence's peace for themselves. Then bishops and church dignitaries heard about him and came to hear his secret. His simple advice was always the same: just practice the presence of God. His bishop asked Brother Lawrence to meet with him. In 4 conversations and exchange of 15 brief letters, Brother Lawrence shared the story of his prayer journey with his bishop. After the death of Brother Lawrence at age 80, these recollections of the conversations and the letters were published so that the whole church could benefit from his wise counsel of this simple brother. For more than 300 years, the church, both Catholic and Protestant, have been blessed with some of the best advice about prayer in the scriptures, outside of the scriptures. The art of prayer is learned in the day-to-day attempts. It can be practiced so that it becomes more and more a part of our lives. It can become a holy habit, which could replace our unholy ones. And when we forget, we can just start again without guilt, knowing that our Father waits patiently for us. And Jesus Christ is always very nearby to help us, if only we call upon him. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. If you would like a copy of Brother Lawrence's book, it is available for $8.50 by special order from Tailwind Books in Sechelt. You can call them or do it online. I'm going to buy a copy of this to put in our church library. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week. May you feel the presence of God. May you place yourself in the presence of God, so you may be nourished and blessed to do his good will and his works. Amen.